next week or so.
Yeah, I had an email from him too.
So ask his view of it. He have entirely different view of
it. Was he working for you at the time?
Yeah, he was one of the revolt. He led the revolt.
Oh, I see. Okay. Is that when he went to Biosis?
Yeah. Eventually. No. They formed their own company.
Who else was in on it?
He was in it. Marv Riesenbach, Marv Schiller, Irv Scher.
Herb White? Was Herb White working for you at the time? Huh?
Came later.
Huh. Yeah, Scher is the person who worked with you on the...
He came back.
Index.
About a year or so later.
Oh, he did.
A year or two later, he came back. Yeah. To his and my good fortune.
Now, at the time of this revolt, you still held your 100% or close to 100% of the stock.
Yeah, well, right. No, they already, the 20% of the company was owned by this group of investors because this was around the time of the SEI. We were worried about the money. So this is about 1965?
Yeah. Something like that. Talk about when you made the decision of how to structure the company. You were a one-person operation then. I assume, I don't know if you had stock then, or when did you decide to go with a stock-oriented?
It was a corporation very early on.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You do that to limit your liability.
Yeah.
Like when I had Documation, Inc. I mean, I was one person.
But you still had corporation.
Yeah.
And had stock.
Well, any corporation has stock.
Yeah. Okay. And when did you start giving up shares to it?
I had given shares or options for shares to all these guys. And when they left, one of them deceptively led me to believe, Schiller, that he was not involved in the revolt because his options were due to take effect within a month. And so he waited until the time came, and so he lied to me, and then when his options were effective, then he told me he was going away. So I think Art lost his options, I don't know about the others, but whatever, you know. Now what happened, they started a publication after that. They formed a company called Information Corporation of America. Very nice name. They started a publication in the field of agriculture. And we filed a suit against them for trade secret violation or something like that. And they never took off. But Art can give you a different perspective on it, perhaps, on what was the reason it didn't succeed.
You were still holding the majority shares in the company, though.
Oh, yeah. I had majority even until I sold it.
All right, let's go back, say, to the citation index. I had forgotten, I saw that article on the patent citation trial kind of thing. I had forgotten about that. Tell me about the NIH grant.
Now you NIH grant?
Right. How did this come about?
Very simple. Dr. Lederberg wrote me a letter in 1958.
Oops, excuse me just a minute. I have
messed up and off and offered me this job, and I told him, look, I'm going down to do that. And he conned me in it, and I needed the money. I just, I didn't have a scholarship or anything.
Yeah. Now, in looking at your bibliography, I saw an unpublished paper titled Librarian versus Documentalist that is dated about 54 or 55. I wondered if you still had a copy of that paper, or do you recall what it was about?
No. It's in my bibliography?
Yeah.
Oh, you can ask.
Well, don't dig it out. That's all right. Because of what was going on at Columbia, because what you'd seen at the project, and just keeping up with what was going Klein General, you were doubtless aware of the controversy between, particularly between the special librarians and the documentalists. How did that whole controversy affect you? This was, the special librarians had a phrase going about then called, the documentation was special library work done by amateurs. And there was a fairly intense controversy, particularly with this, looked like this, well, moves to establish a profession called documentation.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't too much. I mean, I don't know, maybe I wasn't embroiled in that sort of thing. I wasn't. I mean, I had a library degree, and so I think that once you had the library degree, you were, as I said, it was an official, and they couldn't criticize you because you didn't know anything about libraries. And not that having a library degree didn't mean you knew anything about libraries either, right? I think that most of the documentalists, a good number of them, had not been librarians. Moira Mattau was not a librarian.
No, he has a degree from Columbia.
A library degree? He got it when? Later.
44.
Yeah?
44.
Okay.
Like that,
well,
I think. I don't remember.
Well, I always thought that his major thrust was philosophy, but I could be wrong.
That's what his PhD is in, I believe.
Yeah, all right. I mean, you see, anybody that's got a doctorate and then goes for a library degree, that's a secondary consideration for a lot of them. I think they weren't typical library school graduates.
Well, he certainly was very critical of the library community.
Right.
I just wondered how you reacted. We've talked about some of it in terms of no interest from the faculty in these issues.
Yeah, well.
But you had a sort of a foot in both camps.
Yeah, I don't know how to. So what is your question? I don't remember that. I was not I was a member of SLA for quite a few years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I belonged to the pharmaceutical section because it was very related to my business.
Right.
That's a little further down, a few years down the pike.
Right. Right.
And a lot of my friends were all members of that. Anne McCann, and I mentioned March Corain and these other people from the pharmaceutical industry. They were librarians who worked in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm sure that Claire was a member of that.
Schultz was very much involved.
All that. So,
well, particularly this applies a little later on.
I mean, after all, it was only 54 when I went to.
Right.
Already in 54, I went to Smith Kline, a pharmaceutical company. So,
right.
Natural.
Well, there, and I've been doing some work in this area trying to understand, because my background, it comes from the special libraries area, but reading about what was going on in the 50s, in late 40s, early 50s, it looked like to me a good deal of animosity between these two groups.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with traditionalists versus revolutionaries, you know, changing the way we do things.
Mm-hmm.
And people who wanted to spend a good bit of their time on what other people would consider to be peripheral. What can I say? After a while, you become more and more specialized. You're preoccupied with machine methods or new ways of doing things.
Well, I wondered how it affected you in your business as you started the documentation to go in. You were starting to sell to special librarians more than anyone else, as to whether you were viewed as a friend or an enemy, or
it could vary. I mean, I wouldn't say more than anyone else, but I mean, yeah, I did work with a lot of special librarians. After all, it was Charlotte Studer, Miles Laboratories pharmaceutical librarian, who gave me the contract to do the primitive contents page stuff, and then I made it into current contents. But I didn't see a conflict. I mean, you know, a librarian has got so many things that she's that they have to do, other than searching. And you know, it's only it's a fraction of their lives. It's not not all of it. But those that needed these systems were in favor. I didn't find. I don't recognize that kind of conflict. I had a lot of situations where, when current contents was finally started, librarians got annoyed at me because people were asking for articles that weren't yet in the libraries. And we were getting the journals by airmail, and they weren't arriving that fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of an annoyance, not. That I was a machine maniac and they weren't interested or something like that, you know.
Not controversy over your calling yourself, say, a documentalist and resentment about that kind of
thing. I don't remember that.
Yeah. No. Okay. Okay, then back to 56, say, incorporation. Looked like to me that real success came when Bell Labs offered you to buy the service from them.
Yeah.
I was trying to pin down when in 56 this actually happened. Do you remember?
Well, I suppose we could try and trace it back, but we had announced management's documentation preview, and Dick Remling, Bell Labs librarian.
Judge Garfield, can you pick up for Catherine?
Yeah.
Okay, we were talking about the contract with Bell Labs and how this happened.
Yeah, Richard Gremling was a librarian. I think he reported to Ken Lowry at that time, who was the chief librarian at Bell Labs. Lowry had come from the Air Force. I had met him. He was at that meeting, too. And they were essentially planning to do a contents page service for their people. I thought it was management personnel, but it was more than that. It was people in research doing research on management problems. So, and they heard about MVP and. We negotiated a contract where they would get 500 copies, and we would put a different cover on it and call it Survey of Current Management Literature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. And
then later on, you see, during that process, after I already had that contract, I met Harry Brager. He was a Washington consultant. And Harry and his partner, fellow named Kaufman, I forget his first name, had Kaufman Press in Washington, D.C. And he had a printing capacity, and the other guy had a little extra money. He thought, oh, gee, this is going to be a great thing. And they put $5,000 into the pot, and they became my partner. And I even used to go down to their office at Thomas Circle in Washington, and we had an address there. And it said Eugene Garfield Associates. So on. And then we sat around and we were talking about we're promoting, going to do the promotion, what are we going to call this thing? They didn't like the name, that this is too much, and then that's when we named it Current Contents. And we sent out this direct mail shot, which they, I think I previously described.
That, right, yeah.
And it was a disaster, and so I was left with Current Contents and the Bell Labs contract.
What were the sales of MDP before the Bell Labs contract? Were you doing okay? Were they
no.
not? They weren't going anywhere?
No.
You were doing all the publicity yourself?
Yes.
Advertising?
Yes.
Were you taking booths at the association meetings, that kind of?
Well, I don't think there was that much time. It wasn't that long a period, actually.
Yeah. Or even during, while you had the Bell Labs contract and before that.
Yeah, I don't think there was that much happening. I forget the period of time. But I think I met Harry Breger pretty soon after.
I have it 57, but I can't tell what month that this took place. So just a year or two would have transpired.
Just don't know the whole story. Can't remember the details. If I went through the correspondence, if I have correspondence back with Dick Gremling in Bell Labs, that might show it.
Yeah, I hope you have kept that kind of thing.
Do you want me to ask?
No, that's right. That was one of the issues, keep reminding you of the value
I would be inclined to think I would not throw out any such correspondence if I had it.
Yeah. Now, in talking with Mrs. Schultz, she mentions about the return postcards coming back in that you had paid return postage on. Was this part of the $5,000 deal that you had made with these folks in D.C.? When she came to work with you in 57, and I think that's when your deal with Breger was.
No, that was past that deal.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, they were out of the picture by then.
So you were just using this return mail postcard thing to...
That was to promote Current Contents Life Sciences, she's talking about.
It was. Okay.
She was not involved with the Bell Labs thing, to my knowledge.
Okay, nor involved. This was, and the Breger deal was already gone and didn't work. Huh?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, I couldn't tell when the... looked like it was 57, but I couldn't tell what month it was.
Because that was the year... 57 must have been the year I started with the Current Contents Life, and it officially became Current Contents Life Science, Pharmacomedical.
Right.
On the issue, because I just had that slide yesterday, cover of Current Contents Pharmacomedical publications. It was 58. They're celebrating the 40th anniversary next year.
Okay. So you don't consider Current Contents really beginning with MDP then?
I don't.
That's why
ISI doesn't.
Yeah. That's why I said the other day, what's the real anniversary of Current Contents?
Depends on where you want to start.
Well,
exactly.
It was definitely in 57 when Mrs. Schultz came and worked for you. And what the two of you were doing the marketing, and what was happening there?
Well, and we hired a part-time person, Marv Schiller. He was a student at Penn State, and I met him somehow, and I hired him part-time to do direct mail brochures.
Now, she started with you while you were still out in what you call the chicken coop phase.
She worked out in the chicken coop for a little while.
And then you all took the...
She was pregnant at the time. Then she came into Philadelphia, worked on the third floor.
Right. Those were tough times, it sounded like, from her description and your description, too.
Well,
how'd you survive them? Did you get discouraged constantly, or not constantly?
I survived because I had the consulting work. I was working for Smith Klein.
And that was bringing in enough income?
Well, I worked for them 2 or 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. Originally, I worked there 4 days a week in 54. And then I got married again in 55. And my wife was working as a secretary at the Franklin Institute.
I think you said she knew how to do layout and those kinds of things.
She's the one that put a lot of it together.
Yeah.
Claire didn't know a damn thing about that.
How did you use Mrs. Schultz primarily?
Well, we were doing journalists and whatever, you know. Remember, she used to have these little pieces of paper instead of file cards when she had journalists. So. But I never forgot that. Mm-hmm. Couldn't believe.
Now, did she go around and talk to the special librarians? Because she was active in the pharmacy division.
She was not involved in marketing.
No.
I mean, it was like an office job. Yeah. I mean, she was pregnant. She wasn't doing anything that much. And she had a baby, and it was over. She didn't work for me all that long.
Yeah, I think, what, 3/4 of the year or something like that. Back again, I was trying to get a feeling of your, I hate to say mental state, but of this difficult time. Or were you able to put all these things together that you were doing and still feel your...
You live from day to day. Don't... I tell you, I mean, you know, you hope you're going to get another contract, or you do that. Whatever it is people do that are not fully employed.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when you start getting into 58, you know, you're now talking about a subscription publication. And it was, when that decision was made, and things were a little different. But I can't remember the dates at which we got these. We got this contract. When we probably a landmark was when the University of Wisconsin signed up, and it was the first academic group. Previously, you see, I had sold current contents to pharmaceutical companies, and only would sell it to them if they took 25 copies of it.
Right.
And as I didn't expect, it was the companies who had their own internal services who were the last ones to come in. Merck was way down the line. Merck, in spite of Claire Schultz's connection, they didn't become a customer for many, many years later. It was when they gave up the ghost. That was a long... We were already very successful.
Yeah. The Miles Lab deal was the one that really took
you over.
Well,
it started it.
Yeah.
But even that was not sufficient. Nowhere near sufficient.
Yeah.
And then I saw Warren Lambert, and there were a few companies that signed up for 25 copies each or something. And we probably did not even have enough pharmaceutical companies to really sustain the thing that much when we started to take subscriptions.
So those big subscriptions.
And so we had a very good response, and I remember talking to Mark Shore when we finally had 2,000 subscriptions. We said, "Oh, gee, won't it be fantastic? It'll be the millennium when we have 5." So,
well, that 56, 57, maybe 58 too, period strikes me as sort of the classical struggling period for you as an entrepreneur.
It's funny, because yesterday I was just getting rid of a whole bunch of slides. By the way, do you talk about saving artifacts? You want to save artifacts like this?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been throwing out slides by the ton of view graphs.
Yep.
Sorry, I just dumped a whole bunch yesterday.
Nope, those are useful. Now, were those in a publication?
Or probably somewhere, but I gave lectures all over the world. A lot of these things were talks that I made. They may exist in talks, they may not. I threw out tons of slides.
No, don't do that.
It's work to take them apart or to store them or whatever. But
yeah,
you know, I just had a wastebasket full yesterday, and then I sent some down to Beverly. We the formats of current contents, we wouldn't recognize a lot of things that we used to do. Mm-hmm. I had even forgotten that. We started addresses. We had a section in the back where we list the title of the journal, and then we put the page number, and then we put the author's address. Without the author's name. I mean, we were compressing in a conceivable way. And it looks strange to see it, but that's what the format was. So I just sent...
This stuff needs to be kept.
Yeah.
Again, your CHF wants to talk to you serious business about your files and taking them on. And I hope you'll...
But, you know, I got a problem. I mean, I got all this clutter here, and I've got to, you know, eventually got to get rid of a lot of stuff.
I would make a deal with them soon about what to do, and then you can say, all right, I want to be rid of this, and they'll add it to their collection.
Okay.
Okay. But again, see, what I'm trying to do, because this is that critical period in the beginning of the of your business as to what your feelings were, hopes, despairs, those kinds of things during those three critical years.
My memory is not all that great about a lot of these things. But as I said, just live from day to day. I mean, you know, we had to deal with, with competition from the American Chemical Society. They started their quick index called Chemical Titles. And as a consequence of that, current contents has never been a big seller amongst chemists as such. The pharmaceutical people, yes, because it was an overlap between chemistry and biology. That was the thing that made it. But if you were a typical chemist, if you wanted to rely on that, you could have... It wasn't as pretty as convenient. It's never really taken off, but they still have it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they not only that, but at one point they even tried to steal our name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A guy by the name of Murphy was in charge then. And eventually, my patent lawyer always said, Arthur Seidel always says to me, did you want to be the first guy to sue the American Chemical Society? Because I didn't know whether that was true or not, but he assumed that would be the case, you know. And as it turned out, a phone call or something, a letter, was sufficient to get them to back off. They were violating our trademark.
They tried to start
something
they called with the same title.
Current contents.
However they
did it.
Talk about that suite of publications with their weekly issues covering various areas that you went from the life sciences one and on through. What ideas worked, what ideas failed in terms of...
It's funny, I have a vague recollection that we may have even suspended current contents management for a while.
That was in your previous interview that you said.
And then we started an educational edition, and that flopped. Killed that. We thought, you know, when they had the ERIC project and all that, and there was all this money going into educational research. But basically, education research is really social sciences.
Yeah.
And so then we changed the education back to social sciences, as I recall.
And did it, and it then did okay?
Pardon me?
Whereas it had failed earlier, the social science one, you had to stop.
Well, I can't, you know, say that even after we resumed the social sciences again, that it was a resounding success. I don't think it's all that big a winner. Like it, you know, I mean...
Money-wise, profits-wise, current content, life sciences has been the big...
Right. And I just sort of felt that was what we were doing was providing a university-wide service. So I was essentially covering all the areas of the university.
That where your marketing showed your biggest amount of business was coming from was the university.
don't know about marketing, which I think was fairly self-evident that certainly citation indexes.
Yeah, right. But what about for current content?
Well, but current contents, again, the pharmaceutical component was big, but later on it became secondary to the overall